You are listening to A Message from Victory. We hope this will encourage you to grow in your faith.
Good morning. Well, you know, I like to make a reference to the story just now. You know, the Bible says that Psalm 73, that though we will walk, what? Walk through. Faith is not just about walking above, but sometimes faith is walking through. In fact, a good word study in the Bible is just the word through. How many times God bring us through, not just above. Sometimes God bring us through. And that was an incredible story just to illustrate. Faith is about walking through, not just walking above all the time, right? Now, I bring greetings from you from Kuala Lumpur. How many of you have been to Malaysia? How many of you have never met Malaysian? All right, you know, I told the first service, this is the latest model, the most upgraded version, version 10.0. You know, like iPhone, you know, this is the latest iOS, everything all in me, okay? No cholesterol. No, I'm just kidding, okay? You know, before I want to invite all of you to Malaysia, I did not do this in the first service and I totally forgot, but I really want to honor, first of all, Victory as the entire churches of in Manila. You know, we learn so much from Victory, really. I mean, who we are today, we are indebted to the leadership of Pastor Steve and with the fellow pastor, Pastor Paolo, and all of them that has really been an example model. You know, we try to look for Enoch and you know, all the great men of faith, Abraham, but they never show up, you know, but these people show up, you know, and we get to eat with, and we just really honor. So I want you to help me to give a hand to, you know, you're part of it. Thank you. Thank you for being a blessing, really, to us and all over the world. And, you know, I was telling my wife when I see Pastor Paolo standing here, you know, there is this high standard of Victory pastors. They must be godly and guapo. Okay, I mean, you know, immediately that, you know, gosh, you know, I wish I'm a few more inches taller. But anyway, but Malaysian version is like that, okay? I want to say this, okay? Which is, you know, everywhere, every nation family, I will consistently make a disclaimer, which is this, okay? Whenever you go to visit a nation, whether you go to Malaysia, whether you go to Korea, go to Singapore, if you come to Malaysia, you see the Twin Tower, you enjoy the food, you may go up to Genting, you may go to the beaches, or whatever it is, your trip to that nation is incomplete until you visit the spiritual family in that particular nation, okay? So I want to say this, if you come to KL, please bark us, email us, haunt us, you know, do whatever it is, okay, so that we can at least catch a meal. If I can't, I'll get one of our leaders to host you so that we can catch a meal together, and because that's what family is all about, okay? So we want to welcome all of you to Kuala Lumpur, and if you have not been, you should. I was told that to go to Kuala Lumpur, it's way cheaper than going to Palawan Island or anything, because Kuala Lumpur is fantastic, okay? It's a food haven, and you enjoy yourself. Accommodation is cheap. People are super friendly, you know, and all right, okay. Now, let me begin by giving you a couple of other Malaysian versions that God has created. I fell in love with my wife. My wife is here. Teresa, would you just stand, okay? This is... She came to me just now. She said, should I sit in to listen to you again? Okay, so I forced her to sit down. She was about to go to market, and you know, but I decided, you know, better stay with me, okay, so that you can hold your hand while you shop. Very important, okay, because that hand is very itchy, okay? Anyway, this is my family, and so if you know, we are Chinese, and we are good in calculation. So every 3 years, we have one child. If you do not know the story, we have our first son, Joel, second son, Joash. They are all very visible, take up space. They are all big, strong, and friendly. And then the third son, so this is right now 21, actually this year 22, 19, 16. And then we stopped at 3, but 5 years later, God gave us a girl, and she's Joanna. She's 11 this year. She cannot wait to grow up. Every day she tells Papa, I'm a teen, I'm already a teen, okay? I'm 11 or I'm 10, but I think like a 14, I talk like a 14, I argue like a 14. And in fact, she is, okay? When she was very young, about four, five years old. And then we get people visiting our home, and she is our public relations. She's the most friendly one. She's one that hosts people. She's the usher. She's the chief usher. She's everything, okay? So people will come into our house, and if couples were to come in, she'll sit down with them, and she'll kind of 4 or 5 years old, she'll ask her, how's your marriage? And so she has that capacity. When she's about 6 years old, she is, do you have a boyfriend? Do you have a girlfriend? I mean, so that's Joanna, a bit unique, okay? A wonderful gift given from God, okay? So for us to tame her, tweak her, and help her to be more like Christ, okay? So that's our family. When you come to Malaysia, you get to meet all of them, okay? We are in this series called, come on, say it together, Great Faith, okay? How many of you enjoyed the prayer and fasting season? Isn't that incredible? We are like you. We had a different location every night coming together, just declaring, you know, and we end with a powerful Friday night, was just making declaration. And it was just a buffet of faith. As we look into all the different individuals and listen to their story and learn from their steps of faith. One thing that you will realize, the book of Hebrews was really written to a congregation, to a particular group of people when they were going through persecution, going through hard times. And it was faith. In fact, 1 John says, what helped us to overcome the world? It's our faith in God that helps us, that set one apart from another whenever we go through difficult and tough situation that we have to pull through. Now, so in this entire series, we're going to work through Hebrews 11, and I know Cain was the first character. Today, I was given or tasked to talk about Enoch, all right? Now, Enoch is a very interesting figure in the Bible, because there's altogether only 5 passages about Enoch. So not a lot, but every one of them was very powerful. Out of 5, 2 of them was just genealogy, just telling the name and who is the father and all those. But there were 3 particular passages that really gives you a glimpse. Why did Enoch belongs in the Hall of Faith? That gives you a little bit of handles why. And most of all, every one of us can be Enoch. Everyone, because what Enoch went through was steps of faith that the Bible wanted all of us to go through. All right, now we're going to look at the first of the 3 passages in the Bible that describe Enoch. Now, before I read this passage, let me give you a little bit of context, a little bit of the background. Now, this is found in Genesis chapter 5. If you go back and read Genesis chapter 4, it begins by talking about Adam and Eve. And then it tells you the 2 lineages. It talks about Adam and Eve had a son, Cain, and eventually Cain is the one that murdered who? Abel, right? And then it tells you the lineages of Cain. As it named every one of them, the 7th generation of Cain is a man by the name of Lamech. Lamech in the Bible, as the lineage of Cain, is a very violent man. In fact, the Bible captured the story of Lamech, give you a glimpse. One day he was walking, and the little boy stared at him and sort of made fun at him, or he felt he was being made fun of. The Bible tells us that he killed or he whacked that little boy, and then he make a statement. He says, if you were to do something to Cain, I will avenge you 7 times 7. Which is the exact time Jesus said, how many times you need to forgive people? 7 times 70. It tells you the intensity of this violent man. There was a 7th generation of the lineage of Cain. Are you still with me? All right, still Cain, all right? Then the Bible, in chapter 4, the last 2 verses, it ends with telling you the lineage of Seth. Seth is where the godly lineage of Adam and Eve comes from. Cain is the ungodly lineage. Out of them, it ends in chapter 4 that people begin to call upon the name of the Lord. That was the last verse. In chapter 5, the Bible tells us the lineage of Seth. Now, I want you to know, guess what was Enoch? Enoch was also the 7th of the godly lineage of Seth. So you got the 7th of Cain, which is extremely violent, and then you got the 7th of Seth, which is extremely godly. Just a real comparison between a godly lineage and an ungodly lineage. All right, now, then this is where we will pick up the verses in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. All right, the Bible tells us, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. How many years? 300 years. Anne had sons and daughters. They were other sons and daughters, but the Bible never mentioned their name. But Methuselah was mentioned because there's a reason to that. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch, come on, say together, walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So there were two times. The key word in this passage is Enoch, what? Walked with God. Now today, ultimately, I will bring all of us to that little concept of walking with God, which is same pace, consistent, moving in the same direction with God. That's the little concept of Enoch, what we got. Enoch was an incredible man. The Bible tells us, 65 years, he had Methuselah. And then he continued to walk with God for 300 years. Now, does that mean he never walked with God in the early 65 years? We actually do not know. But the Bible tells us that after he has Methuselah, something must have happened that caused this man for the rest of the 300 years to actually walk with God. Now, we're going to have a little bit of what we call fun facts about Enoch, Methuselah, and then the judgment of the flood. Okay, now. Because we are Chinese, every time we see numbers, we got to play with it, okay? Now, this zero doesn't represent Adam. Are you with me? This is not the year BC zero. No, okay? This is not creation. This is the year where Enoch's father was born, just in relations to Enoch's father, which is Jared, okay? Altogether, there were five names here. If you're looking for names, these are possible names. Okay, now, so first of all, Jared was born, and then 162 years old, the Bible says he gave birth, or the mom, okay, or the wife, okay, gave birth to Enoch. Enoch then, 65 years later, which is 162 plus 65, 227, are you with me? You need to get a calculator, okay? Which is 65 years. The Bible says Enoch gave birth to Methuselah. And then he walked with God for another 300 years, which is why 527, where Enoch was taken away. Now, before we come to that, Methuselah then gave birth to Lamech. This Lamech is different from the Cain lineage Lamech. Are you with me? That is a bad Lamech. This is a good Lamech. All right? So this Lamech, eventually Lamech, then he, you know, as he go on, but in 300 years after Methuselah was born, the Bible says that Enoch was taken away by God. You know, the Bible tells us that Enoch was just walking with God, and all of a sudden God says, you know what, Enoch, why don't you come up? And he went up. Now, the Bible never says that he gave notice. The Bible just says he was no longer there. I believe that there was a massive manhunt, you know, was looking for Enoch, you know, where did he go, you know, but maybe there was some sign, we do not know, but ultimately God took him away. There were two individuals in the Bible that never see death. One is Enoch, the other one is Elijah. Elijah, God took him in a chariot of fire. This one might be like Thor or, you know, just Zuma. I do not know, okay? But Enoch was taken away by God. And then in 569, which is 569, according to Jared, Lamech gave birth to Noah, right? And Jared died. And 1,000 years, according to Jared, after that, Noah started to build the ark. When Noah built the ark, Noah was about 480 or 500 years old. According to whichever version that you believe, whether he built the ark for 120 years or he built the ark for 100 years. Okay, there were two possibilities in the Bible. And then eventually Lamech died, which tells you the fun fact is this: while Noah was building the ark, he has Lamech and his father and Methuselah, his grandfather, both of them were helping them to build the ark. Can you imagine that? Wow, they were part of the, you know, ark builder. You know, I don't know, maybe they were old. They just calculate the material, okay? But anyway, they were all building the ark together. And then Lamech died, and then Methuselah died, 969 years old, which is the longest ever lived person ever on earth. Longer than Adam, longer than the others. Now, what was significant was this, okay? Which is why I want to tie everything together. When Methuselah was born, the Bible tells us that Enoch named him as Methuselah. The word Methuselah comes from Methu and Salah. And these two words come together. Salah means, if I'm not mistaken, God sent. Methu means when he died. Which means that when these two words come together, Methuselah simply means when he died, God will send. Now, it was believed that the name Methuselah was a prophecy that tells everybody almost 1,000 years before the flood that the day when Methuselah died, which is 969, is the same day, or not the same day, the same year where judgment of the flood came. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6, which says, every man's evil, every thought was evil. God has no choice but to judge the earth. You know what? God was so merciful and long-suffering that he had the longest years ever, 969, before he ever judged. Now, something about Enoch and Methuselah, and this is what scholars, some of them believe, that when Enoch had Methuselah, God showed him what's going to happen, and it compels and encourages Enoch for 300 years to walk close with God, because he understood when he died, something will happen. Now, this is the little bit story, fun facts about Enoch, Noah, and Methuselah. Now, hopefully, if you don't get anything out of it, at least you get the number 969. For Chinese, you never got 4-digit, because anyway, do they have 4-digit here? Do they? Oh, no, okay. It's a Malaysian thing, okay? Never mind, we'll move on, okay? We'll go to the second passage of Enoch, where it gives you a little bit glimpse of who Enoch is. Now, this passage is written by Jude. Jude only wrote one chapter. He's a bit not as long-winded as the other author. So, only about, 21 verses, if I'm not mistaken. Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, remember, Cain had his seven. Enoch was the seventh. Prophesied about this man also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment to all, to convict all who are ungodly among them for all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, what's the keyword in this passage? What's the keyword? Start with you. Ends with why? Ungodly, right? Now, you know, it gives you a glimpse of Enoch. This is potentially the verse that Jude quoted when he was talking about a particular rebellion against God. He cited Sodom and Gomorrah. He cited the fallen angels. And then he took out a passage in the book of Enoch, which this passage is inspired by God because it's in the Bible. The rest of them is not. And he began to relate back. He says, you know what? This Enoch so walked with God that in his walk with God, he was able to download the things that's close to God, which is why he defined ungodliness three ways. He talked about ungodliness is ungodly deeds, ungodly ways, and ungodly words. That little three thoughts. It gives you a glimpse of someone who walked with God so much that he's able to download the very heartbeat of God about ungodliness. All right, now finally, the verse in Hebrews 5, and that's where we'll pick it up, and then I'll give you three thoughts about how to walk like Enoch. All right, by faith, Enoch was taken away. Would you read together? All right, it's a bit lonely up here. All right, one, two, go. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The Bible says, for those who come to God. Everybody say, I come. All right, come to God, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I want to take all these three verses and summarize with that little idea and the concept of walk, okay? You know, the life of Enoch illustrates, exemplifies what it means for all of us to have the ability to walk with God, okay? The word walk simply means move at a regular and consistent pace. That's all. Just walking, you know. You don't have to run. You don't have to run before. You don't have to run after. You just walk in step with God. All right? Now, what was incredible with Enoch was he walked with God for 300 years. You know, some of us, we walk with God only for 300 seconds. Some of us walk with God for 30 days. Some of us walk with God for 3 days. Some of us walk with God for 3 months. And then at some point, we were disappointed with God. And then we said, you know, I'm going to walk with you, you know, and I know it may not happen in Philippines, but we have that a lot in Malaysia, okay? And some people just give up and say, you know what, God is not through, never come across. And the testimony just now was someone that had every possibility to say, God, I have enough of you. You didn't come through for me. You know, walk with God is that simplicity of taking one step at a time, just with God, you know, no matter what comes, okay? Now, this, so how did Enoch walk with God? I give you three handles, and then we will just conclude this message. Okay, first of all, Enoch believed in God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that Enoch believed in God. He has faith. He pleases God because he put his trust in God. Now, something about Enoch's style of believing in God. When you study the life of Enoch, the Bible never talk about Enoch has any incredible challenges. It wasn't like David, he had the Goliath. It wasn't like the Moses, he had the Pharaoh and the Red Sea. It wasn't like Joshua, he had the, you know, all the Canaanites and the River of Jordan to deal with, or like Daniel, the lion's den. He didn't have all of that. But something about Enoch, in the normal routine mundane of everyday life, he kept his faith and his trust in God. He wake up in the morning, he does his devotion, he do his great faith just like every one of you, right? He study, he pray, he talk to God, he pray before he eats, he commit the day before the Lord, he bless his wife, bless his children, at the home he kept himself faithful, godly. I mean, he does that for 300 years. And the Bible says he walked with God. You know, something about believing God consistently that allow God to be God. I was feasting on the book by Rhys Howell. How many of you heard of Rhys Howell? Okay, Rhys Howell was actually an intercessor, and he's actually a coal miner. He was very uneducated, but if you read his book, you know, I'm always fascinated about prayer because there were a lot of people who moved in prayer, and they used vocabulary about prayer that I never understood. For example, they talk about laboring in prayer. They talk about travailing in prayer. You know, when I pray for food, I don't labor a lot. I don't like, oh God, I don't, right? Something about when you read people who are in a certain level category of prayer. Rhys Howell is one of those, very uneducated, but he prayed to the outcome of Second World War. And in that book, he talked about how he grew from personal prayer to a region prayer, and in fact, to a world-level prayer where he spent days and night praying until peace come through. Now, the Dunkirk, have you watched the movie Dunkirk? Dunkirk, behind the story, was Rhys Howell praying for the safety of 500,000 of soldiers. Now, so if you know the story, they were stranded in Dunkirk. And history tells us that somehow when they were stranded in a wide open beach, the German Air Force comes in and it's really sitting down for the German Air Force to kill them. Rhys Howell read about that and he went to his knees for days. And one day, he stood up, he says, you know what? God is going to come through for the young men and women of Dunkirk. They will come back. You know, history tells us the miracles of Dunkirk, and you can read about it, all right? The history tells us that what happened was a storm raged so huge that the German Air Force couldn't make it to Dunkirk because of the storm. And for 9 days at Dunkirk site, it was a clear weather. So much so that 1,000 normal ships, fishermen ship, you know, Winston Churchill, all those, were mobilized and brought home 400 over 1,000 of soldiers. You know what? That was a miracle. But behind the scene was someone who prayed. And Rhys Howell make a statement, and this is his statement, okay? His statement is this: prayer is always a tension of the gradual and the sudden. Come on, would you say it together? Say prayer. Prayer is a tension of the gradual and the sudden. You know, when they went through Jericho, it was a gradual, it was a mundane, it was a, okay, you know, for the seventh day, the Bible says, the suddenness of God and the whole Jericho crumbled. You know, the tension of the gradual and sudden. Now, if you want to be smart, tomorrow when you go back to your office, your boss is telling you, hey, come, sales is not in, you're telling you, boss, it's the tension of the gradual and the sudden. Wow, you never know, okay? Now, I want to tell you the story of my son, my eldest son, just to illustrate this, okay? And walking is just keep on believing, doing the gradual. I call this our walking, or my walking, his working. When I learn to walk, I allow him to work. My son, my eldest son, he's 21, 22 years old this year, and 20 years old, he went into university. Prior before he went to university, he was being homeschooled. I always say this, homeschool is some are more home, some are more school. My son, before 12 years old, more home, after 12, more school, homeschool, okay? So he was a homeschool boy, and because of homeschool, he had a lot of years where he had holiday. So it took about two and a half years gap. He had a very good A-level result. British system, not like SAT, American system, but British system. He had, it's tremendous. He's very good with math. He's really, you know, above the average, okay? And so what happened was he wanted to go to the university in Australia, the best university. And but it's very expensive for us to send our kids because it will cost us about, I don't know, about maybe 300,000 US, you know, just to for him to finish the whole thing, or 200,000, so really expensive. So we told our children, as any good faithful parents, we will support you as long as you get a scholarship. Okay? So he worked very hard, all right? He applied. That university only give one full scholarship a year for one student. So he has to be like the best of the best, okay? Anyway, he was shortlisted top three, but he didn't get a scholarship. They wrote him back, they're going to give him a discount, but a discount is not a scholarship. So we told Joel, Joel, you know, sorry, we couldn't do it, you know, but we got to believe God for the next step. Okay, cut the long story short, second year he appealed, and other colleges give him, you know, 30% and all those, but nevertheless, it's still very expensive. He decided then he's going to stay back local, and there goes the dream of marrying the Australian girl. No Australian, just his imagination, okay? Okay, anyway. So he said, oh, I couldn't marry an Australian girl right now. I said, it's okay, right? So he stayed back. He went to a private college called Sunway. Sunway is a conglomerate, just like Alaya, you know what I mean? Just a big conglomerate with all kinds of businesses, you know, all those. So he went to a private college. Now, because he delayed in an application, and his result was a second-year result, which means that they told him, you are not entitled to any scholarship. Please do not appeal. Though your result was very good, but I apologize. No scholarship can be given because you delayed in application. So he came back disappointed. And then the gradual and the sudden, the tension that every one of us have to go through. Every morning without fail, Joel, my son, will walk and talk to God. He will do that for about 5 a.m. in the morning. And if he has no problem, it's a quick walk. If it's a lot of issue, it's a long walk, okay? So some, okay, today is a good day. Yes, Papa, it's a good day, okay? So he'll walk with God, okay? So he, as he walk, he'll pour before God. And so one day we told him, Joel, you know, you should appeal. He said, yeah, God spoke to me, I should appeal. He wrote him an appeal letter. The head of the scholarship or the team of the scholarship people look at his appeal letter and they were intrigued by why he took the gap year, which is to serve the community, be part of the church, you know, volunteer and all those things. So they call him back. They call him back and say, you know what? We cannot give you the scholarship, but we have some discounts, some awards that we think we can squeeze you in, you know. But after about 2 days, they kept calling him. Cut a long story short, they met up with him. They said, Joel, we were so intrigued by you that we proposed your name to the head of our scholarship, and we are trying to push you in to the highest scholarship award of this university. But the problem is, we have never done that in our history. Number two, this particular scholarship was closed 1.5 months ago. In fact, 2 weeks from now is the awards of this scholarship. So we will try. They met up with him. They had an interview. 2 days later, he was awarded a Chancellor Award, which is fully funded for everything that he does in that university. Not only that, they will fund him to go travel to overseas for some exchange students program in UK, fully funded. Parents not included though. Okay, that's just they should have more faith. Okay, anyway, and not only that, because it's such a big conglomerate, it was stated there, he says, part of the contract, he says, whichever position that you wanted after you graduate, you will always be given the first preference of anybody. It's all spelled out there. Okay, now, when we found that out, it was double door closed. First of all, couldn't appeal. Secondly, the scholarship was closed 1.5 months ago. When we talked to the school, this is their answer. He said, every semester, out of thousands of students, we only award two. He says, for whatever reason, this year, after we close, we still only have one awardee. And when we met your son, we just all agree that this is the man that qualifies for the second one. You know, God has just kept the place for him. Walking means you allow the gradual and the suddenness of God to happen. You do the normal, you do. So he was just every day, Lord, I come in. You know what? That's what Enoch do. Now, how many of you think you can do that? That's right, God, I commit my day, help me, you know, as I wrestle with it. And you wait for the suddenness of God to happen, all right? Number two, the second principle, how did Enoch walk with God? Enoch sought God. The Bible says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That means what you do, if you do not have to seek God, all you needed to do is to include God in your situation. You know, our world is small. Our world is limited. Our world is full of flesh. Our world has our own weaknesses. God's world is unlimited. Whenever you include God, God is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, we do not know how God rewards. I tell you a story. When I was studying in Bible college many years ago, one of the most incredible stories, actually I've got so many stories to tell you how God rewards, but this is especially special because it was a very personal story of mine. I went to the States to study in Portland Bible College. I self-funded, no one supported me, I worked 30 hours a week just to fund myself. During the holiday, I worked 20 hours a day. Two jobs, night and day, just to fund myself throughout and to be able to come back and marry my wife. So I came back with $5,000 to marry my wife, actually, okay? So I worked very hard. There was one particular first semester when I was in Bible college, I ran out of money because there was building fund and I decided to go by faith, you know, all those things. And it was in that juncture, I began to include God. Now, when you are in Bible college, you have to buy books. So I went for the Bible pastoral class, and the teacher said, you must go and get this list of books. One of the books is called My Shepherd, My Sheep, James Liebel. I will never, ever forget that book. It was written by a Southern Baptist pastor. And so I went to the bookstore. Now, because we are poor, we go to the secondhand bookstore. Now, is there a secondhand bookstore in Manila? All right, okay. So when you go to secondhand bookstore, you got many shelves, many categories. You got the new old book, right? You got the old book. You got, you know what I'm saying? So first of all, I went to the new old book. Wow, every book, $5. I said, no, that's too expensive. And I went around and finally I found the shelf. It's not so new old book, okay? Which is about 50 cent US, you know? And I was so happy. Just about, I was to take those books. I saw by my eyes, there was a big bin, about a quarter of the stage, really big. Hundreds and thousands of books were thrown all over. So I say, oh, maybe that's even cheaper. So I went there. Every book is 10 cent US. You know, I mean, they are old and, you know, like old rugged cross, like that, old rugged books. Okay, anyway, as I pick up the book, I took 10 of them, okay? 10 books for $1. You know, for a Chinese man, that's fantastic, okay? That's good math, okay? I took all that books. I went to the counter. I paid $1. I'm a happy man. All right, and I hop on the bus, I went back to my room, I put all the books on my bed. As I was just taking the book, I took that book, My Sheep, My Shepherd, James Liebel. I opened up. When I opened up, I found $200. Wow, now I'm a really happy Chinese man, okay? So the next thing I did was, you know what's the next thing I did? I immediately opened up the rest of the book. I was hoping for 200, you know, I was hoping for 2,000, really the most happy Chinese man, okay, but I was open and there is none, you know, and I was shocked, I didn't know what to do. Suddenly I got money, it was real, it wasn't fake, you know, it was made in US, you know, in God we trust, you know, all this, and I, you know, does this money belong to the owner? Does it belong to the bookstore? No, it belongs to the owner of the book, right? Am I correct? So I went to the first page. There was no name, no address, no number. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. And wow. So no. With fear and trembling, I called two of my lecturers. No kidding. I called Lenny Hubbard, Larry Ashburn, which is both my lecturers. I said, what am I supposed to do? There's money in the book. And both of them said, Tim, isn't it clear? It is God's way of telling you that he is your provider. You know, and I still remember having those money, and I look up to heaven, and I tell what, I can tell you incredible stories after stories of God is a rewarder, those who diligently seek him. You don't know how it comes about. Sometimes it comes, you know, it only happens one time. I wish it happens all the time. It just happened one time. But in different time, God rewards us differently. But we just need to include Him in every day of our walk with Him. And finally, the Bible reminds us in Jude 14, Enoch, as he walked with God, he declared the word of God. He declared, you know, as you walk with God, you believe in Him. As you walk with God, you seek Him, you include Him in your world, in your challenges. And finally, as he walked with God, he consistently tell other people about God's love and God cares and how wonderful God is. My last story just happened before I traveled to Manila. A true story of there was this particular plumber, and he works in a construction line, and because his friend who accepted Christ about a year ago invited him to church. Before Christmas, he came to church. And in that little journey, he has this interest to discover God. So I do a discovering God with people who do not know God, and I always tell them, what you do is you learn how to relate to God. Most of us think the way we discover God is to research and reason, but the right way to discover God is to relate. The best way to know my wife is not to research. Teresa, how well she cook, you know, right? I can do all of that, but the best way to do with her is to sit down and to relate to her. So I just tell them how to relate to God. So this man prayed, dear God, and then whatever he wants to say in Jesus' name, amen. He called me, or we met him just a couple of days before I came to Manila. And he says, Pastor, I must tell you this, okay? He says, I don't know if this is God, but it sounds like God. He says, you know what? I've been a chain smoker. And he says, one day I took up, which is just last week, he says he took up the first pack and he smoked. He says, for the first time, no taste, tasteless. So he thought that this cigarette is expired, the dates, okay? So he took out his second pack, new pack, he opened up, he smoked. No taste. In fact, he was jokingly said, put two cigarettes and then still no taste, okay? And finally, he took the third pack and then he opened up another brand, still no taste. He says, Pastor, for the first time, I've been smoking for so long. He says, absolutely no taste. He asked me, is that God? I said, yes, that's God. We led him to Jesus that very day itself. Today, he is a new believer going through one-to-one, and he no longer smokes. Now, listen to this. Our job, as we walk with God, is to consistently declare the word of God to everybody around you. You know what? That's what Enoch did. Enoch exemplified a walk with God that every one of us can follow. You believe in God consistently. Never give up. Never give up on God. You always include God into your world. And finally, wherever you go, you become someone who consistently declare the goodness of God in your life. Can I good amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Amen. Amen. Lord, we are so grateful to you this afternoon, Lord, even as we come together. God, I pray, we want to be like Enoch who walk with you and how they were so pleasing unto you. As we begin, Lord, the second week, this journey of great faith, teach us to believe in you, teach us to seek you always, and to know that you diligently reward those who seek you. And finally, help us to be people who declare the word of God wherever we go. We thank you. We pray for all those. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. One more round of applause. Come on. Wow. Thank you, Pastor Timothy. I want to be like you when I grow up. Let's all stand. I'll close us in prayer in one moment, but I loved what he said. When you look at the life of Enoch, there's not a lot that is said. He was not in a lion's den. He did not cross the Red Sea. He did not slay giants. He did not walk around Jericho and see walls crumble. He consistently walked with God for 300 years, and God was so pleased, took him home. And so I just want to pray for us as we end today, to just the consistency. Lord, I may not be a giant slayer, but I'll just consistently walk with you. Let's just pray. Lord, I just pray for every person in this room, even those who are watching online, listening to this podcast. I pray, Lord, that you would Give us the faith to walk the same as Enoch. Every single day, woke up in the morning, walked with God, slept, and as the Bible says, he who neither sleeps nor slumbers, Lord, we rest and yet you continue to work. And then we wake up and we just, Lord, flow into your grace as you've already been working the previous night. Every single day, walking with you. And so, Lord, I pray for every person in this room, Lord, that we would understand and we would discover, not just research about you, but we would relate with you, what it actually means to walk with you. Let there be a greater discovery in the coming days. I pray that your righteousness, peace, and joy be with us, Lord, and the peace that surpasses all human understanding to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you were challenged and inspired by the message. Together, let's continue to honor God and make disciples.